one of the traditions here at St. Andrew's School at Wares Valley Ranch is that we offer a week at the beach in Florida to those who memorize the Sermon on the Mount. And that's a good tradition. I look forward to resuming that when travel is more expedient. But over the years, we've had many students memorize the entire Sermon on the Mount. And a lot of other scripture, too. We don't start with the Sermon on the Mount. We start with Psalm 1, and then Psalm 2, and then there's a whole list of things to be memorized. But right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount is a very important word for us right now in our culture. All of God's Word is true. All of God's Word is alive, and it is powerful, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it penetrates us and reveals things in us and shows us not only about ourselves, but about our Savior. In the middle of this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, and for those who are less familiar, the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And yes, our students do memorize all three chapters and recite all three chapters straight through. Anybody out there wants a challenge? There you go. But in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." But notice the first word in that verse, "therefore." So if we want to understand what he says about worry, we need to go back at least as far as verse 19. So that's where we're going to begin our reading today. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, and reading through the end of the chapter. This is God's Word. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. Jesus says to His followers, do not worry. And then He says, do not worry. And then He says, do not worry. So how's your obedience?
Well, Pastor, it's just hard. We're living in troubled times. And if you watch the news, you see so much evil in the world.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. In fact, apparently that started just about 6 months ago. No. Back in the days the New Testament was being written, not during the time that Jesus was preaching, but subsequently during the time of the epistles, there were Christians being used as torches to light the garden of the ruler of the Roman Empire. Christians who were literally set on fire to provide light and entertainment to a demonic ruler.
So you're saying that it's kind of been bad for a long time?
Yeah. Yeah.
But has there ever been a year like 2020?
Well, I don't know, 1968?
What happened in 1968?
I don't want to go into it, but I lived through it. And I'm just telling you, there has been garbage going on in 1973, and in 1976, and in every year since Cain killed Abel.
Well, so how do I keep from worrying?
Well, this tells us. Jesus doesn't just tell us not to worry. He tells us in verses 19 through 21, be careful what you hold on to. Be careful what you hold on to. If you are not careful, your stuff will own you. And one of the reasons a lot of people have anxiety is they're desperately trying to make sure they don't lose any of their stuff. If you've been in the inner city, you've seen homeless people who've stolen a shopping cart so that they can hang on to their stuff. And a great deal of their energy is expended trying to make sure that nobody takes their stuff. I believe, I've not tried it, but I believe if I were to say to one of those folks, I'll buy your stuff for $500, they'd say no. Now, do they need some money? Well, yeah. But would you sell that stuff? No. I've had people ask me for money, and they've got two dogs in the van that they don't have gas for. They can't give up their dogs. They got to have the dogs. And so they can't afford gas. So somebody else ought to pay for that. Let me just ask you, what do you need to hold on to?
Pastor Roy, you seem a little hypocritical because I've been to your house and you've got all kinds of stuff.
Yes, I do. My wife and I are desperately trying to figure out how to get rid of a lot of it right now. And with the help of our wonderful assistant, Miss Mariah, we have taken a lot of stuff away.
Well, are you going to give it all away? Because I might want to come up there and see if there's some of that stuff I want.
Here's the deal. It's okay to have stuff if the stuff doesn't have you. But be careful what you hold on to. If you lay up treasures for yourself on earth, and this is it, this is mine. Some of you know that I was called the little German when I was a two-year-old. Because my favorite word was mine. Mein shoes. Mein truck. Mein coat. Everything was mine. And that's an attitude that
I don't express as often verbally anymore, but I still definitely have a concept of property rights.
Well, now, Pastor Wood, I believe that property rights are important.
Yeah, but attitude is even more important. Do not store up for yourselves. Notice that phrase. Is it okay to store up things that you can give to others and share with others? Yes. But if the stuff is for you, this is mine. Nobody's going to get this. I plan on having it buried with me. Okay? If the attitude is, I've got to keep a grip on this. Is there anything you've got that if somebody came to steal it, it would be okay to just shoot them for stealing it? Life is much more important than stuff. Thieves break in and steal. Moth and rust destroy. Do you know what moths destroy? Have you ever had this experience? You got a really nice wool sweater for Christmas, and then you're wearing it, and as you're walking down the street, a whole flock of moths just descend on you and eat up your sweater right off your back. Have you ever had that happen? Anybody? No. Moths don't do that. The stuff that moths destroy are those things that are not being used. They're in storage. And so the moths get in there and they lay their eggs in that nice wool, and then when those things hatch, they eat their way out. Isn't that a pleasant thought? But what they're eating is the stuff that's not used. Likewise, man, it just kills me that my tools that I'm using all the time just rust right in front of my eyes, right? No. The tools and other things that rust, cars, etc., they rust when they're not in use. So it's okay to have stuff that you're using and clothes that you're wearing. But if you've got so much stuff that it just sits there, then you've got a problem. And you need to find out who that stuff is for. My wife is going to remind me of this when I get home. Instead, it doesn't just say don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Why? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you want your affection, your heart, to be focused on this world? Or do you want to be in love with the one who saved you and looking forward to eternity with him and using what he's given you in order to help others come to know him? Then he says, not only be careful what you hold on to, but be careful what you look at. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Be careful what you look at. Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4. Be careful. Say, well, I know that there are a lot of people who have a problem with pornography, and I'm aware that that is a problem even among people in churches. Yeah, pornography is a huge problem. And you know what else is a huge problem? Catalogs. Catalogs. You start getting stuff, and maybe it's a TV show. It might be HGTV. You're looking at stuff, and you had a pretty good house until you watched that show, and then all of a sudden you realize you need new counters. Okay? All of a sudden you realize you need new cabinets, you need to change the flooring, you need to repaint. All this stuff needs to be done. Why? In order to shelter you from the storm. No, in order to be up to date. Last time I saw, if your house is not somewhere in the gray palette, you're just out of fashion. Imagine how ridiculous it seems to watch one of those shows when you were born in the 1950s and 1995 seems like a few years ago. And these people walk into the house that they're looking at and they say, oh, this is so 90s. And I'm like,
What's wrong with the 90s? That was an upgrade from the 80s. Right? I mean, at some point you got to realize I should be looking into God's Word instead of watching all this stuff that is designed in order to try and make me feel like I don't have enough. Okay? What you have is not good enough. You need our product. Then he says, be careful where your loyalty is. No one can serve two masters. Please say that with me. No one can serve two masters. One more time. No one can serve two masters. The reason I say that is because a lot of people think they're exempt. They're the exception. You know, well, I know as a general rule, you're not supposed to serve two masters, but I think in my case, you know, I'm doing a pretty good job balancing this. You will end up hating this one and loving this one, or hating this one and loving this one. Jesus says, sooner or later, your loyalty is going to show. So be very careful. No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Say that with me. You cannot serve both God and money. One more time. You cannot serve both God and money. Does that mean Christians can't have money? Well, the Bible does say that money is the root of all evil. No, it doesn't. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And folks, I say this less to the staff because you wouldn't be here if you had a big problem with the love of money. But to our young people, I will tell you, you may think, man, when I grow up, I'm going to make a fortune and I'm going to be the happiest person on earth. Well, you may make a fortune, but if you do, it will not make you the happiest person on earth. More than a century ago, the fellow who was at that time the richest man in the world was asked, how much money does it take to make a man happy? His answer was, just a little bit more. You see, there is no satisfaction in it. No matter how much money you get, if that's what you're looking to for your security and your satisfaction, you're going to come up empty every time. You're running down the wrong trail. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You give Him everything. You're totally devoted to Him.
Well, but I mean, what about the practicalities? What about, you know, I mean, like, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? What am I going to drive?
Every now and then, I think it would do us good if an EMP hit. Our cell phones wouldn't work. Our cars wouldn't work.
Well, I actually have an old car in the garage. It's rusting, but it's still, you know, it's from the days before they put computers in the engines. And so I've got one of those, and I think, Pastor, I'd be able to bring that sucker out. And everybody else might be stranded, but I'd have a car.
Where are you going to get gas? Gas pumps won't work if there's an EMP.
Well, I have a hand pump I ordered from one of those survivalist places, and I would just go to the gas station, and I would fill that baby up, you know, pulling it up out of the tank down below, and probably wouldn't even have to pay for it anymore because the gas station would be closed and doesn't work.
Yeah, that would work real well until a guy with a scope says, hey, there's a vehicle. And then he comes and takes your vehicle. I'll have Johnny be out there watching for that. Let me just tell you something. If your security is in what you amass, money, ammo, whatever it might be, if that's where you're finding your security, you're in a heap of trouble. Because it'll never be enough, and you'll never be secure. You may be the best armed guy who has a brain aneurysm. You understand? You and I are entirely dependent on God all the time, whether we acknowledge it or not.
And what he says is, you don't need clothes. You don't need food. Just trust God. No, that's not what he says. He says, God knows that you need food and clothes. And God will take care of you. The pagans run after all those things. Don't you do it. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Check out Psalm 50, verse 11. God says, all the animals and birds are mine. I know them and I provide for them. And God says, you are much more valuable than they. Much more valuable than they. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Not only consider God's faithfulness and the way he cares for his creation, but consider worry's fruitlessness. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Some translations say a single cubit to his height. Doesn't matter which way you translate it, because it means the same thing. Worry is useless. When I was a teenager, I saw a plaque. Someone said, don't tell me that worry doesn't work. Over 90% of the things I worry about never happen. Now, that's called sarcasm, folks. The person wasn't really saying that worry works. They were saying worry is stupid because you're worrying about stuff that's not going to happen.
Well, but sometimes some of the things that I worry about do happen.
And how did worrying help? Okay? Did it make you stronger? Well, Pastor, are you saying we shouldn't prepare for potential difficulty? No, the scriptures speak plenty about not only preparing for the future and taking shelter if you see a storm coming. The Bible also speaks of being in a position to bring out of your abundance that which you can share with others. But guess what? Worrying is not the same thing as preparing. Worry is fruitless. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? During the night last night, as I was thinking about this, I was going over in my mind a list of stories I might tell you, and the list was just too long. But what I can tell you is that over and over and over and over and over, God miraculously provided for me in times when I didn't have just basic resources to address some of these needs. God said, here you go. And one of my favorite examples was when I was about to, I was finishing up a junior college in North Carolina and about to go to Gordon College in Massachusetts, and I knew the climate up there was going to be snow. Okay? I knew there was going to be snow, and I thought it would be good if I had some boots. And I thought, if I'm going to get boots, I want to get good boots. I'd like to get some really good hiking boots. And the primo brand at that time was Bosque, and I wanted Bosque boots. But I couldn't afford them. I didn't have the money. And so I prayed, and I said, Father, I know that you love to give good gifts to your children. Would you please give me the money to buy a pair of Bosque boots? I'd already priced them. I knew how much they cost. And I didn't have that money in my budget because I was having to pay for college. I was getting ready to see all the money I'd saved go. And so I just prayed and I said, Lord, I'm willing to work for the money if you'll provide me with a job. But I've only got a week
before I have to leave for school, and most people are not going to want to hire me for a week. But I need, you're not going to believe the price back then, I need $58 to buy Vosk boots. Now I think they're about $275 or something. And they're not as well made as they used to be, just for the record. But I went to the local, largest business in our little town, and I said, do you have any jobs that you could give me for a week before I go off to school? And the manager said, well, I don't have any regular job, but I could give you a job operating the elevator. This is an old hotel with an old elevator that needed someone to turn the little crank that controls where it lands. Okay, it's really cool. You can see them in an antique place. But that's how old I am. So they needed someone to operate the elevator just a few days when groups were coming in or leaving the conference center. And she said, I could let you do that. I said, well, how many hours would it be? And she said, well, it would be this many hours on this day, and it would be this many hours on this day, and this many on this day. And I said, well, do the math and tell me, after taxes, how much money would I make if I worked those hours? Anybody care to guess? Huh? $58, exactly. Now, that woman didn't even know why I wanted the money. And she didn't know how much money I needed. But God knew. And so, this many hours on this day, this many hours on this day, this many hours on this day, and after taxes, my net was $58. Plus tips. I got some tips, not a lot. But I was given exactly what I needed in order to get what I felt I needed in order to brave the snow of New England. Now, I'll tell you something. That is one of more than 24 stories that I could give you about how God, you've heard about my purple sneakers that I got while I was up there at Gordon College. Okay? After I was married, I really wanted a pair of Bass Topsiders. That's a particular kind of shoe that I thought was just really going to be a great boost to my wardrobe. And I not only wanted the Topsider shoe, I wanted a pair of khaki pants. They would just be the right thing to wear. Khaki pants and Topsider shoes. And it wasn't something I needed in order to survive. It wasn't like I was going to go naked without them or barefoot, but it was like I did need some shoes and I did need some new slacks because my stuff was wearing out. And so I just priced them. And again, this is telling a lot. Back then, the Bass shoes were $38 and the khaki pants were $12. So I could get both those items for a total of $50. And I said to my young wife, honey, let's just pray and ask the Lord, if He wants me to get those things, to give me $50. And so the two of us prayed together and agreed together that if the Lord wanted to provide that, we would definitely receive that as a gift from Him. The next day, a man came up to me and he said, could you come by my house? I have something for you. This guy was nowhere around when we were praying, but this was a guy who apparently listened to God. I went to his house. He handed me an envelope. $50. $50. How does that happen? God promises. He says, how much more? He'll clothe you, O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. That's what the pagans are chasing. They're all focused on what they're going to get. And your heavenly Father knows that you don't need them. Oh, wait, did I misread that? Is that not what it says? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows you need clothes. God knows you need food. God knows you need shelter. Most of us need a lot less than we've got. But God knows what we need. And what He promises is this: seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. They're fringe benefits. God will give you all that you need if you are focused on doing His will. So, I just got to ask, is that your focus? Are you focused on doing the will of God? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And then He says it again: therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do you have enough for today?
I got enough for today, but I was really concerned about what I'm going to do next week. Don't worry about next week. You may be dead.
Pastor.
Well, I'm just saying this. Jesus said, don't worry about that. If the Lord comes today, all the prepping is going to seem silly, isn't it? Okay? You're just going to leave it for somebody else. Jesus told a story about a guy who was blessed, prospered. And he had so much that he couldn't fit it all in his barn. You know, what am I going to do? Oh, I know. I'll build a bigger barn and fill that sucker up. Jesus said he died that night because he was a fool who was focused on himself and not rich toward God. I want to ask you a question. Since you can't serve two masters, who's your master? Since you can't seek first different things, who's number one? We are. What? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will be given to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Just trust God for today. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Are you worried? Do not worry. Have you been worried? Confess it as disobedience. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you from it. You do not have to worry. Well, Pastor, I think I do, because I'm a worrier. You know, that's just a... Well, that's like if I were to say, you know, I know it says not to commit adultery, but I'm an adulterer, you know. Well, adulterers are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Liars are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Just like murderers are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Well, can a person be forgiven if they have been guilty of something like that? Yes, they can. They can even be forgiven if they've been guilty of worry. But if you think it's okay to just embrace that as your identity and say, I can't change, I'm a worrier, it runs in my family. I'm a worrier, my mom was a worrier, my grandmom was a worrier. We just worry, that's what we do. Repent. Repent. Jesus says don't do it because He loves you. By the way, that's why He says don't lie. That's why He says don't steal. That's why He says don't commit adultery. He loves us. God's commands are not burdensome. They're for our good. We cannot keep God's law in our own strength. That's why we need a Savior. But let me tell you something. When He saves you, He doesn't just forgive your sins. He changes your life. It is not enough to know what is right. God calls us to do it. Let's walk in obedience. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You have already blessed us in amazing ways. And thank You that while we do not always get what we want, we always have what we need. Thank You that Your Word tells us how to receive from You that which You know we need to do your will. We pray that you would continue to guide and provide here at Ware's Valley Ranch. And we will be careful to give you all the praise. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.